Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice, an independent streaming internet radio station broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Wednesday morning, May 7th, 2008. It is now at 6:32 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old United States. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our special broadcast of Liberty Talk Radio. We typically broadcast on a Thursday morning. This is a Wednesday morning because I will be unavailable tomorrow, so I did it one day in advance. Our inline telephone number that we use for our calls, 646-652-4620, I think is having technical difficulties this morning. So if you do try to call in 646-652-4620 and cannot get through, you know why. All right. If you'd like to, we have our line, our computers on, so we can take email. You can send me email to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I'll be watching the screen. If, in fact, we get email, we'll try to respond to your email while on the air, and we have about 30 minutes for this broadcast. Folks, this morning I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. No one needs to tell anyone these days that things don't look good, and on the surface, they are much better than they really are. We have a systemic problem with our financial institutions, which has not surfaced yet, not in the eyes of the average person, the average consumer. I think when this really comes to light and comes to the surface, things are going to get worse. You need to prepare yourself. This is not the sky is falling. This is reality. There is no one who will tell you that things are good these days. And there's no one that'll tell you, not anyone worth their salt, that'll tell you that we've bottomed out yet. In fact, we're in for a very, very long, protracted recession. And if the financial situation doesn't improve, we can have a collapse of our financial system. And that would affect us tremendously. Everyone, absolutely everyone, rich, poor, and in between. So please go to Andy Sutton's website. He has a newsletter that you can subscribe to, and he has one that's free that's online, and both are excellent. I do recommend that you support him. I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to talk about a subject that I think is a real hot subject, and that is education. Today, the political candidates make a hullabaloo about education, educating our children, how important it is, and how we dedicate our resources to it. I have a few questions for them. First of all, what do they mean by education? Secondly, why do they care? And third, what do they think they can really do about it? And four, if government is so concerned about education, why is it so poor? I mean, we have many unanswered questions. But before we do that, I have a couple of quips here I'd just like to get off my chest. This is from Ambrose Pierce. I think I may have mentioned this last show. The slightest acquaintance with history shows that powerful relics get the most warlike and unscrupulous of nations. Voila. Here's one from Thomas Merton. Thomas Merton was a, I don't know who he was. Wrong quote. This is from George Malone. He was a U.S. senator. and he passed away back in 1961. He says, "I believe that if the people of this nation fully understood what Congress has done to them over the past 49 years, they would move on Washington. They would not wait for an election. It adds up to a preconceived plan to destroy the economic and social independence of the United States." Now, this is a U.S. senator, folks, and we have to be careful. When we listen to these candidates running for office, you know, we should trust them as much as that comment tells us to trust them, right? And this goes for education as well. Let me get back to the education issue. When we talk about education, I'm not certain what we're referring to. Here we are. We have, we send children to school. We put them in a classroom, and we have a teacher explain stuff to them. Okay, so is that education? Now, it seems to me, or it's been my experience and the experience of my children, and I raised three boys, that they didn't get much from their education. I mean, they went to school, they learned some facts, but what did they really get out of school? If you really stop and think about it, we don't get much. What we do is we get a second-rate babysitting service. What these students are asked to do, kids who are young kids, I mean, kids in their first, second, third grades, tremendous imagination, very inquisitive. And what do in our school system? We take these children and we ask them to memorize. They memorize this, memorize that, memorize all the dates in history. We don't really ask them to be creative. In fact, children who are creative and think, quote, outside the box, which I hate that expression, but, you know, could be sent to the principal's office, you know, for being disruptive to the class. There is something very, very wrong. Now, a problem that I have with our school system is our school teachers. Now, before I get nasty email from teachers out there, let me say this. I admire them. They have a job that I would not do. And all the teachers that I know were incredibly dedicated. In fact, let me put it this way. If I had to take a class of people that I know, I'd say teachers are more dedicated to their profession than most people are in any other profession. I mean, they wouldn't be teachers. They're there. They have students. It's a very personal thing, and they really care. Here's my problem with teachers, and this is where I get in trouble, and they really get angry with me, is that our teachers are a product of our public government school system. And as dedicated as they are just perpetuating a poor educational process, a poor educational system. As much as I admire the teachers and I appreciate them, I appreciate their dedication, and they're truly dedicated. When I ask a teacher about the school system, they say, "Oh, I know there's problems there, you know, but in my class, what I do," that is the standard answer that you'll receive. In other words, they know there are problems out there. They really don't want to get involved. But their class, they make the best that they could. And they're absolutely correct. They don't get involved. They know there's problems out there. And they really try to do the best they can for their students. Now, there's something wrong with that process if we have teachers all saying that they are doing the best that they can for their students. And they're a product of a system that they know is a failure. I say I have a problem with that whole concept. Now, this may be a little bit difficult to grasp because it sounds so negative.
But my point being is that teachers, by and large, are not critical thinkers. And not because they're stupid, don't get me wrong. I mean, they're bright people, they're good people, don't get me wrong. I'm not getting personal here. I'm saying because they're a product of our school system, they were asked to memorize this stuff, take a test, they pass, they get their certificate, they teach. Something is wrong with that process. So we take these students, we put them in the classroom, and as the students get older, they get more and more, they get more bored. They get more disenchanted with the school system. They get more rebellious as they get older. And the teachers have a more difficult time, quote, controlling the class, unquote. Now, I used to, at one time, volunteer my time to 7th and 8th grade classes, going in and talking at a very, very Dick and Jane high level about business, about free enterprise. And there were games that we played and things like that. It was a good program. I eventually discontinued volunteering because the classes were so disruptive, so undisciplined, so out of control, and the teachers were just, they were like people coming back from war. I mean, they would just haggle, they were just, you can tell the frustration. And what they wound up, what many teachers relegated themselves to is being a babysitter, as being a warden of the room. And their objective was to make it to the end of the class. Now, this is our education system. Now, even in the classes that were, in fact, what we would call, non-disruptive, obedient, a good class, we'd have all these students. Now, you think about this. You have all these students sitting in a class. There are boys and there are girls. There are slightly different ages, different learning abilities, different ways of learning. And they're all sitting in this one box, if you will. Okay? And with the teacher imparting information, each student has to absorb that information at the same rate, at the same time, at the same level, because there's going to be a test, and the person who absorbed that information the best, or listened the best, or whatever the case may be, got the highest mark on the test and was the best student. There's something all wrong with that process. Now, I often wonder how we can tolerate our school system. If we say that we need a good public school system, why? If you look at the national averages of the largest cities in the United States, the graduation rate is 51.8% on an average. That's one of the worst statistics, worst graduation rates in the industrialized nations, if not the worst. Now, if you are the worst in doing something, if you are dead last, should you not say, boy, there's something we're doing wrong? Well, why do we have a public school system? Well, if we go back in history, excuse me, I'm going to take a little swig of coffee. And folks, it is already 6:45. This is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. We do not have a call-in number. I don't think you can try it. 646-652-4620. I'm not certain if you can get through. If you can, that's great. If not, send me email, And I'll be watching my email to see if we get anything come through here. And let me just check this again. I'll just click on it and see if anything's come in. All right, hold on one second, please. Back at the turn of the century, or before the turn of the century, there was a real concern that people were coming into the United States with all sorts of different ideas. And they were concerned that these ideas would alter what the American way of life should be based on our Constitution. Now, the logic was, if we had a public school system, the intent was to indoctrinate the children and convert them from the thinking of their native lands or their parents' native lands to our country, so they would think like we do. Now, there's nothing wrong with indoctrination. We all indoctrinate our children. We don't want them to play with fire. You know, we want them to be respectful. We want them to use dirty language. You know, we do these things. And if you want to call it, that in fact is indoctrination. All right. So indoctrination in and of itself is not bad. But the indoctrination really has a negative connotation. But let me use it in the negative sense now, since that's the way we've been accustomed to hearing the word. Education is good, indoctrination is bad. So if we want to indoctrinate these children so they think like we do, or the way we want them to, in fact. Now, then it got to the point where there were so many Roman Catholics coming over here in New York, right, that the Protestants were concerned that there was that the school system would be overly influenced by the Pope. So that was another impetus for having a public school system where there would be a strict division between church and state. Big separation between church and state. So you see, this stuff really fomented over years, and this was no accident. The problem that we have is that in this indoctrination program, we started to make stuff up. Now, we didn't make up arithmetic. 1 + 1 was 2, is 2, will be 2. I mean, they haven't changed that. But what they did do is they took things like civics, history, and anything that had to do where the United States was involved in some sort of activity, and they changed the story around. And here is my problem. It wasn't until I was a sophomore in college that I had a teacher. I do not remember his name, but I can see him like I saw him yesterday. And he would get so wrapped up in his dialogue about an event in history, he would literally climb on the lectern. I'm not kidding you. The guy was a small guy, thin guy, and I remember his leg actually climbing. He would be climbing on it, and it was so exciting. And I remember one time, he said, "Here we are now, folks." He says, "We are, you know, it's in the throes of the Revolutionary War. It's in February. It is cold. Everyone is starving. Everyone is freezing. There is no convenience store on the corner. They're in the middle of a forest. There's no food. There is nothing. All right? We were attacked, or we attacked the British. We had this small battle with the British. Right? And the Patriots won the battle. What did they do with the British soldiers?" And for the first time in my life, I stood there and went, What do you mean? You know, we were prisoners. Prisoners to what? Where? And he contended that we may have eaten them if we were hungry enough. In other words, what he did is he opened our eyes to the reality of history. What really happens. Unfortunately, our presidents have been lying to us for years. I'd like to just read a few. Hold on a second. I have an article here that I thought was absolutely, absolutely fascinating. Of course, I can't find it now. I can never find anything that I need when I need it. Here it is. In 1846, James Polk took Americans to war after falsely proclaiming that the Mexican army had crossed the U.S. border and attacked a U.S. Army outpost, shedding the blood of our citizens on our own soil, his quote. Though Polk refused to provide any details of where the attack occurred, the accusation swayed enough members of Congress to declare war against Mexico. Now, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue this broadcast on Sunday evening and say, and call it Education versus Indoctrination Part 2, because hopefully we'll have a phone line and we'll have people calling in. But here we are back in 1846. Now, I got that information from the Future of Freedom Foundation, something that you should subscribe to, fff.org. Very, very good website. Go to it. It gives you good information, historical information about our freedoms and our liberty, by the way. But here we have, back then, presidents concocting information so that we would be energized to go to war. And we went to war with Mexico based on that, with no evidence backing it up. In fact, it was what they call a false flag. We have had these false flags through history. And this Sunday, what we're going to do is we're going to go through some of these false flags and then determine whether or not any of these false flags are in our history books. You see, unfortunately, in the indoctrination process, what our students learn is that we went to war with Mexico because Mexico was doing all of these horrible things. And no one is to question that. I mean, how could you question this when you're a student just sitting in a class and there's the American flag up there, there's the teacher, you know, who's awesome, all powerful, and they tell you that Mexico came in and slaughtered all of our citizens, there was bloodshed, and we go, man, they're bad people, boy, good thing we went over there and kicked their butt, you know, and, you know, America's a great country. In our history books, I doubt you will find anything that suggests that the United States has gone to war inappropriately and illegally. And yet, if you look through history, and we'll do this Sunday night, Sunday evening at 8 o'clock, you look at it, we went to war illegally over and over and over again. Folks, that includes World War I, that includes the Spanish-American War, that includes Vietnam, that includes Korea, and by the way, folks, it includes World War II for all you veterans out there. And please, if you're a veteran, please write in or call in. I'd love to hear from you. Now, is anyone suggesting that maybe we went to Iraq for a good reason? Or Afghanistan for a good reason? Another two wars. You see, but my point being is that we don't learn any of this in history. We don't sit down and analyze, scrutinize. We don't exercise creative thinking, critical thinking. We just memorize. Here's my problem with education. Why do we need schools? In fact, there was an appellate court decision in California, which indicated that all children must be educated in public school systems so they could be indoctrinated to a point of being loyal to the state. And that was actually in the court records. He said the purpose is loyalty to the state. What the heck was that about? I mean, isn't that the Communist Manifesto all over again? I mean, Karl Marx would be proud of our public school system. When I was in college, I learned that if you read the Wall Street Journal from end to end every day, and you have to read the stock market quotes, I mean, you know, the articles, business articles and whatever, and there's, you know, not the ads, that would be equivalent to a master's degree at Harvard. What is the difference if our children don't go to school? They stay home and they are encouraged to read, to think, and to explore. My sons got very little from school. The brightest one, the third one, the one that did really exceptionally well in school, did so because, and he almost had a nervous breakdown doing it. He memorized and memorized. He got a degree in chemical engineering, and he's got an excellent job. Not very happy with it. And yet, he has a difficult time reconciling basic things in life. He's a good kid, don't get me wrong. He's very smart. He's got a good job. He does an excellent job, works very hard. But I often wonder what the public school system did for him. It seems that the public school system did more harm than good. I heard on NPR radio the other day that there was a fellow who took his son out of school. He said, "Just, you know, you're going to stay home." And he said, "What you're going to do is just watch movies with me." Well, the son stayed home, but for some reason he got encouraged to read books. So he read a lot. And they interviewed the son on television. He sounded incredibly intelligent, very well spoken, very appropriate vocabulary, spoke correctly, had tremendous insight. Never went to school. I mean, didn't finish school. There's a fella who works for me who does an excellent job, never graduated high school. And yet his line of thinking is a heck of a lot better than the older folks that work for me that were products of our school system. Folks, I'd like to define what education is. Is education sitting in a classroom listening to someone blah, 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 blah? Heck, I can teach my kids how to do basic math, basic algebra. Anyone can do that. You can learn that you can get online now and learn basic algebra online. And whatever algebra I remember, I can learn online in a matter of a week. I don't have to go to school for a whole year. I think the important thing is that we learn to think. And if there's one thing that we have lost in America, is our ability to think. And I think we can thank our government school systems for that. Unfortunately, the only ones that can really, the parents are the ones that have to do this, something about this. And the parents don't know any different. And of course, the teachers. And the teachers are part of the system. They know there's something wrong, but they're doing a good job. And they are. It's almost time for us to... it's almost time for our broadcast time to be complete. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to continue this subject of education on Sunday evening. And I hope that we do get some people calling in. Unfortunately, we have our phone lines are down today. I don't know what happened, but I just learned that this morning when we turned all the equipment on, and it's too late to do anything about it. But I'd like you to call in 646-652-4620 on Sunday evening, starting at 8 o'clock Central Daylight Time. And we'll continue this conversation about education. And... this is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, and that'll be Sunday evening, 8 p.m., Central Daylight Time. Stay well. Stay tuned.